This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with Bill Gunther of Laramie, Wyoming. He lives there with his wife, Verna, and he loves the outdoors. During World War II, he was getting a whole new view of the world as a navigator with the 412th Bomb Squadron, part of the 95th Bomb Group, flying out of England. If you get onto Facebook and punch in Hometown Heroes Radio, you'll find some photos of Bill then and now, and you'll also find an assortment of the B-17s that he took to the air in for some of his 35 missions, all targeting Germany. Bombers with names like Knockout Baby, Roarin' Bill, Lady Fortune, and Winged Warrior, the one in which he completed his final mission to Berlin in March of 1945. He flew in many different B-17s, but all but one of Bill's missions were with the same pilot, a man named G.R. Hale. What did you think about the leader of your nine-man crew, Bill?
Oh, I got along with him fine. I thought he was an excellent flyer. He had a lot of experience. The guy that he replaced was kind of a goof-off, I think, and we were probably lucky to get a good pilot.
Makes a big difference when you know you can trust somebody, I bet.
Yeah, somebody that you know is you have confidence in.
Life on your base. Now, one thing I've read about your base is that that was one of the last places Glenn Miller performed. Was that before you got there?
It must have been, because I never saw Glenn Miller there. Okay. The main thing... unique thing I remember about our base, when we got there in September, the pilot and I were standing out in front of our squadron headquarters, and about a mile away, a V-2 exploded in the field. I think they were shooting at London, so you see how far away they were. They were about 80 miles from London, and it lit out in the field, didn't hit anything.
When you say the V-2 now, did you know what it was at the time? Had you ever heard of anything like that?
Oh, yeah, we'd heard of them.
Yeah.
And we were going to go up and look at it the next day, and we couldn't get near it. The British had it guarded off, so.
Mm-hmm. That would get my attention. What about when you did get to come home? What was that like for you?
Near Liverpool, there was a base there filled with guys like me that were waiting to go home.
What did it feel like to actually get back to American soil?
Well, that was a happy moment, I suppose. Late April or early May of 1945, the war hadn't ended yet.
So you were back in the States for VE Day.
Yeah.
Is that something that gave you some satisfaction when you heard that Germany had surrendered?
Well, everybody was glad about that the war was over, I'm sure.
And I can tell just from some of the comments that you've made that you have... read extensively about World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the big picture here. You were involved in this war in Europe, the air war in Europe, but it's clear that you have an understanding of the big picture. What does that mean for how you feel about what you did and what satisfaction you take in what America did?
Well, America did a lot collectively. Any one guy just played a small part in that. So I never felt like I won the war single-handed. We all know that was John Wayne, and he did it without leaving Hollywood.
Yeah, he was in the Navy, the Marine Corps. I mean, he had all the bases covered, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I ask is, you know, people my age and younger, we weren't alive for World War II, and we've grown up in a world that I think is very different from the world you guys lived in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the Depression and some of the effects were character builders, you might say, which a lot of people since then have never had the opportunity to experience.
What did that do for you?
Oh, I don't know.
Was it just taking nothing for granted?
Yeah. When you're a kid, you don't know whether you're poor or not. It doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in good places to be a kid.
Whether at the time or since, how would you explain the purpose of what you were doing over there, what you guys were fighting for?
Well, we were trying to defeat an enemy that needed to be defeated for all the horrendous things they'd done. So,
does that give you some pride to know that you were a part of defeating that regime? And if that regime had gone unchecked, who knows what would have happened, right?
Oh, yeah. And if the German generals would have been allowed to run the war rather than Hitler, they might have won it. They might have knocked Russia out of the war in 1941.
And America would have had a hard time doing...
Well, it would have been tougher, much tougher.
Well, and if he would have expedited the jet technology, too, guys would have been in a world of hurt in your planes, wouldn't you?
We did see jet flyers on our last mission over
really?
There.
Really?
Yeah.
Your last mission?
I didn't see them, but the tail gunner and the turret gunner saw them. So.
Had you heard about them beforehand? Or is this something just completely blowing your guys' minds?
Well, I'd heard of jet planes, but they didn't get them in action soon enough to get any good out of them. The war was practically over before they had them.
But in the small amount of time they used them, the American fighters realized they were grossly overmatched.
Yeah. I don't know whether that day whether they shot anybody down or not, but at least our guys saw them.
Well, and at least you got home and got out of there.
Yeah.
If there's anything else that you think of about experiences in World War II, I don't want to leave anything important out. I also want to ask you, though, about an experience you had with Honor Flight, going from Wyoming back to Washington, D.C., to see the National World War II Memorial. What did that mean to you? What did you get out of it?
Oh, I was kind of glad to have the opportunity. We saw several of the memorials. They didn't go by the Air Force Memorial, but I think I saw it in the distance.
Well, you went to the crown jewel there, the National World War II Memorial,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was the main thing. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of that? What did you get from that particular part of the visit?
It was kind of nice that they take those old guys over there to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Did it weigh on you at all to look at those gold stars?
Gold stars, you mean for the deaths?
The wall of 4,000 gold stars signifying over 400,000 Americans who died?
Yeah, we lost 400,000. I suppose it makes more of an impression on me when we see those cemeteries in Europe where a lot of our guys were buried.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything particular that I would remember was the flight home. When we got to Cheyenne, where it landed, the weather was so bad, I don't think the pilot saw the runway until he was on it. I don't know that for sure, but there were so many clouds. And
they could have used an experienced navigator.
Well, no. Well, they had their own navigation equipment, but I don't know how scary that is for pilots to not be able to see the runway until they're almost on it. But
uh-huh.
They came in without difficulty.
That must have given you some flashbacks to 70 years ago there.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned earlier that one of the reasons that I do this show is so people my age and younger can have a feeling, have an understanding of why you guys did what you did all those years ago and how significant what you accomplished was and what it took to accomplish it. Is there something that you think people who didn't live through that really need to understand and grasp about your generation?
Well, there wasn't much, I'll say this, there wasn't much complaining. The guys used to joke about things rather than complain. So no matter how serious, I told you about the bombardier laughing when the piece of flak bounded off his chest without hurting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used to joke about things rather than complain.
Is there anything else that I didn't ask you about with regard to your Army Air Corps days that you think is worth mentioning? Any hairy landings or anything?
Hairy landings. Well, I remember one takeoff. There was fog on the runway, and when we got out of the fog, we were going 45 degrees to the runway rather than down the runway. That was sort of hairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you land on two engines, you sweat it out a little bit, but those all turned out all right. I remember another crew that landed at Woodbridge, where they had the big, wide runway, and the pilot of that crew had everybody bail out. And there was the young navigator of that crew jumped out, and his chute didn't open, and he got killed. Well, if he stayed on the plane, he'd have been all right, because the pilot did land the plane.
Wow. Well, that's tragic.
It is tragic, yeah.
Especially when you consider, too, that would have been you if that is your plane.
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me, and I don't want to leave this out. You were very humble about your Distinguished Flying Cross, and you didn't want to go into too much detail. But the incident when your plane was down to two engines and you guys had to drop out of formation, you were the one that had to navigate to an alternate landing spot in France. You didn't know this at the time, but apparently the folks back at your base in Orem didn't think you guys were ever coming back.
Yeah, we didn't get back for several days, and somehow I would have thought they'd got a radio message from maybe our radio operator, but they didn't, and they had our clothes all packed up ready to do whatever they do with the clothes of missing in action. Uh-huh. But we weren't missing in action. We were just slow getting back.
But they thought you were gone.
Yeah.
So they must have done a double take when you showed up.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They didn't have a special party for us or anything like
that. What would you say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, as I said, as far as anything I did, I don't think I did anything real outstanding that a lot of other guys did. I suppose I'm just thankful to have survived and lived a long life.
What's your secret? You're 93 years old, but you stand straight up. Clearly, your mind is working pretty well.
Yeah, I play duplicate bridge.
Duplicate bridge, that's the secret.
Yeah, well, that's not the secret as much as all the hiking I've done. I've even converted Verna there to hiking. And
you still go hiking?
We don't do as much as we did, but we do some. I get out and walk around town a couple miles every day, but we did a lot of hiking together. We went on a lot of hiking elder hostels, and before I met her, I did a lot of hiking. As a matter of fact, I started hiking with an outdoor group the first year I got back from the war. The longest trail I've hiked from start to finish is the old railroad bed that runs from here to a place on the way to Steamboat Springs. It's 120 miles.
Ooh.
But I didn't do all that in one day. I did it in parts. Sure. But a lot of it I walked by myself.
Yep, a 93-year-old navigator who never gets lost, whether in the sky or on the trail. If you ever visit Laramie, Wyoming, maybe you'll see him out there walking. Maybe he'll take you on a hike. Thanks to Bill Gunther for his service to our country and the education this longtime professor gave us about being a B-17 navigator during World War II. We're out of time this time. Next time, we're going to catch up with a man who flew B-25s in China and shares his story with visitors to the Warhawk Air Museum in Nampa, Idaho. Until then, I'm Paul Leffler saying thanks so much for listening, and don't ever forget that freedom is not free.